You ready to hear a little bit of Zoe to prompt
Can't wait.
Ron to impart your wisdom to us today, and then I'll see you on the other side.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, Becca, and thank you in advance. Zoe, here she is.
So this is a song that I recently added to my playlist, and I play it whenever I'm feeling down and I need a little boost, so I thought that I'd share it with everybody today. Challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever, 'cause there is no way around it. Everyone falls down sometimes, but you just
Thank you so much, Zoe. Oh, and good morning, my friends. I'm so grateful for this amazing and perfect opportunity to be with you this morning. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that beautiful daily word comfort. I'm always amazed at the perfect choices the daily word staff always seems to make for every day of the year, just when we need it. As I was planning over this week, that word comfort really resonated with me, both in the lead up to our Memorial Day, when we honor the men and women who gave their lives in service of our country, and as all of us have been collectively searching for comfort and clarity and action as we watch the most recent tragedies in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas unfold. While 39 million Americans are reportedly traveling this holiday all across the country, there are many military families and friends who will be solemnly marking this weekend in remembrance of their loved ones. Memorial Day is such a great tradition in our country, a holiday filled with ritual, especially among our military families. Just this past Wednesday up at Arlington National Cemetery, an honored tradition took place. It's called Flags In, where soldiers from the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment, which is known as the Old Guard, placed nearly 300,000 American flags, one on each graveside and at each columbarium. Each flag is placed precisely at center and precisely 1 foot from the headstone. Precision is a big word at Arlington. The Old Guard takes great pride in their precision, and they strive for perfection in every ritual, every salute, every honor guard. At Arlington, there is a deep commitment to the ideal that these treasured rituals will provide comfort to each bereaved family member. The old guard wants everyone to know that their beloved hero was treated with the highest respect and honor, with love and dignity. So this morning, I want us to focus on that word comfort and comforter, what they mean to us spiritually and metaphysically in our world right now. Now, comfort, of course, is the easing of a person's pain or grief. The comforter, however, is all that and a great deal more. So our daily word today defines comfort in the affirmation, "The love in my heart is my comfort." And this reflection reminded me of one of my favorite promises that Jesus shares with his disciples. The Bible tells us that at the Last Supper, Jesus and his team shared the ritual of the bread and wine and talked about his expectations for their next steps together. But this was not just a business as usual dinner meeting. Jesus shares some shocking news with them, that his time on earth is soon to end. He tells them he will soon be gone. Just imagining that moment has always given me chills. What in the world were the disciples feeling at that moment? To me, this scenario is one of the Bible's most galvanizing and poignant. Now, while we couldn't ever really imagine how the disciples felt, as fellow human beings, I believe most of us by this time have had to stand in the face of very bad news and realize that we must say goodbye to loved ones, either through a life change or literally facing the end of a life. I would have been scared to death to realize that I had committed my life to this crazy guy, Jesus, watched him work and watched him teach me profound new ways of living my life. And here he was about to cut out and leave me ruthless. The shock, that wondering if I could possibly go on without this light in front of me to lead the way. But you know, Jesus was a pretty smart guy, wasn't he? Instead of giving a standard pep talk, "Come on, guys, you know how to do this." No, he focuses and assures the disciples that he would not leave them as orphans. He says, "I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." This comforter, Jesus said, would guide the disciples to all truth. Basically, he's saying, "Don't freak out, guys, because I'm going to ask the Father to bring you exactly what you need to carry on this work. I'm going to send you a comforter." Well, now, one of my silly dear friends and I had to giggle just a little bit at that suggestion of, "I will send you a comforter," because immediately we both imagined Jesus bundled up head to toe in a down comforter, like a little toddler snuggling down for a nap. But we are grown-up Unity Truth students here this morning, and we know that the comforter is another word for the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, a mysterious and multi-layered entity offering an arsenal of tools, of strengths, and inspiration to all the distraught disciples. And thank God, it offers them to us as well. The Holy Spirit is also described as an advocate and an encourager. An advocate, I loved this definition, is one who offers to support those who feel they are not being heard and ensures them that they will be taken seriously and their rights will be respected. Sounded like a really good union rep, right? Or a shop steward. The encourager gives us another fascinating idea to play with, comparing an encourager to an old-fashioned theatrical prompter, someone who sits out of sight of the audience and was ready to quietly supply the actors with their lines if they forgot. Today, of course, modern speakers use the teleprompter, But isn't it fun to think about if we were suddenly in the middle of a spiritual crisis, that we could simply go within and say the word line? Oh, believe me, we have all done a variation of that. You know that moment when we silently pray, Lord, let me say the right thing now, or keep my mouth firmly shut. What a comfort it is to imagine all the resources available to us when we feel the Holy Spirit inside us. Now, Unity teachings, of course, have a wealth of amazing information about the Holy Spirit. Lessons in Truth by Emily Cady reveals some remarkable details. And I also came across the teachings of Master Unity educator Vera Dawson Tate, who was known at Unity Village as Miss Lessons in Truth. Evidently, she adored teaching that book. She gives us some amazing modern interpretations as well. So here Miss Tate addresses the question, what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, she declares, is God in movement. The Holy or Whole Spirit is God in movement. It is the breath of God. And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? God in movement as his breath. It's God breathing out himself into creation. So let's all be sure we're on the same page about this Holy Trinity thing. The Holy Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Unity, we say that Father is divine mind, the Son is the idea, and the Holy Spirit is expression. We have an idea, and the idea must be expressed. So the whole of spirit moves through the mind and the idea, and there is expression. So as expression, let's look at the Holy Spirit as a communicator with God. As our comforter, the Holy Spirit translates the love and wisdom of God into our experience of life. It reveals God, offering the love of God as a very personal presence. And it translates God's will into specific guidance for our good. So how does the daily word galvanize and lift our lives? A classic quote from a 1945 weekly Unity says, "The Holy Spirit is a prospering spirit because it instructs and guides us in perfect methods of service, the perfect performance of our tasks, and the perfect use of our substance, which is the energy out of which all things are made. With the Holy Spirit, we are in all ways guided and prospered and perfected." And this channel of Holy Spirit never runs dry. It never tires of helping and healing and guiding us. Now, here we are reminded that God's timing is always impeccable. Jesus, of course, knew that the disciples would need some significant time to process this information before they moved forward, just as we know our own need to regroup and recover from major transitions. So he cautions the disciples not to rush to leave, but it's going to be a little while before the Comforter would appear after the resurrection. And sure enough, 50 days after Easter, which this year is next Sunday, June 5th, is the day of Pentecost. That's the occasion when the Holy Spirit entered the disciples and they spoke in tongues. Now, one Bible scholar suggests that the reference to speaking in tongues, which some of us might associate with the word Pentecostal, refers to foreign languages, suggesting that the apostles would now go into other parts of the world to preach the message. Well, how about that? Are you surprised that this Holy Spirit idea offers us so much? I surely was. It was like Christmas morning opening all those gifts. And if you thought the comfort of clarity and discernment and perfection weren't enough, there are even more special gifts the Holy Spirit will provide. In the masterworks of Vera Dawson Tate, she shares more insights into the true gifts of spirit. First, she recognizes the gifts of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is being able to use our intuition to understand the voice and the laws of God, to experience a direct revelation. And the gift of knowledge combines our wisdom and our intellectual understanding of the truth. Then the Holy Spirit offers us faith, where we now have the ability to see and perceive all good desired despite appearances. Now here, we get into some really interesting territory, things like healing and miracles and prophecy. Now, thinking about healing, most of us would probably say, nah, I couldn't possibly heal like Jesus or the disciples. But Ms. Tate defines it very simply as healing is our ability to lay hold of the life idea. And what that means is the knowing that our health and wholeness is our divine right. It's our inheritance. And she suggests we can potentially help others to move beyond their negative thinking about their own health and help them heal as well. So what about miracles? Working miracles, Ms. Tate says, is our ability to work with divine law to bring forth manifest good. So what we might understand and affirm as divine law and truth might seem like a miracle to others who might not understand. Then we have the gift of prophecy. Now, of course, that doesn't mean like the old cartoon carrying the sign around in Times Square that says the end is near. Our gift of prophecy is our ability to know what is going to happen to us ourselves. And that means knowing that we have to abide by divine law and cooperate with spirit to succeed. Otherwise, if we choose to do it the hard way, we know full well what will happen. And that is followed by the gift of discerning of spirits, which is kind of an odd little phrase that simply means our ability to understand others in spite of any negative words that they are saying. It's basically listening and accepting with love and compassion without judgment. And finally, our ability to communicate in various tongues, as we mentioned in the Day of Pentecost. And you know, this might be the simplest interpretation of all and the most profound, because it means to be able to talk plainly to a 6-year-old child and a 55-year-old businessman in the language of truth they can understand. It's meeting everyone exactly where they are in their spiritual growth with patience and love. And here is the greatest comfort. Can you believe we are all have each and every one of these gifts inside us? Well, you know, Jesus said whatever he did, we would be able to do too. His mission was to show us how to do it. That's why he's called our way shower. And then our mission is to actually be about doing it. Our mission is to realize that we in our divine nature are sons and daughters of God, to open ourselves to divine mind and allow the whole Holy Spirit of God to move through us and reveal all the ideas of our true nature. And here is probably the most encouraging news for right this minute in our lives. It's straight out of the timeless revealing word. The Holy Spirit is in the world today with great power and wisdom, ready to be poured upon all who look for it for guidance. Its mission is to bring all men and women into communion with God, to guide us in order that we will not mistake the way into the light. Lord, bring us into the light. So on this beautiful long weekend, a ritual where we all enjoy a break in routine, please remember our armed forces who made the ultimate sacrifice, and send comfort and peace to all who grieve for them and to the families of the victims of the recent violence in our country. And I encourage all of us to take heart and examine our own courage as we imagine each and every one of these brave men and women and children possessing these special gifts of the Holy Spirit too. I hope our time together has brought you some comfort and some new insights which offer courage for the coming weeks. May our hearts and our vision be strengthened and inspired to know better and do better in the days ahead. And so it is. Amen.
And now it's time for our meditation. As we move into this quiet time, I invite you for a tiny retreat from the world. Together, we bring all we have thought about today and affirm that new insights are waiting for each of us in the quiet. At retreat years ago, we would sometimes harmonize on a Gregorian chant, Veni Sancte Spiritus, Come, Holy Spirit, to prepare us for the 12 hours of silence. The chanting cast a spell over all of us and literally drew us into a retreat from the world. And now I invite you to retreat with me as we invite the Holy Spirit to once again come fully into our hearts and minds in this time. Thank you, God, for this moment to be still and know your presence in our hearts and bodies and minds. Let us focus on imagining the gentle breeze of spirit drawing past our faces as our breathing calms and settles. Feel your chair supporting you, and in the safety of this moment, know you can slip quietly away from the challenges of this moment into a quiet heart already filling with peace. Come, Holy Spirit, into each and every person listening this morning. Gratefully, we summon your energy and comfort and courage to fill every heart that beats as one in this moment. No matter what thoughts have come into this service with us, we purposely put them aside to make room for the fresh air of newly energized thinking. We welcome the Holy Spirit with joy this morning. We celebrate the wisdom already flooding into our minds as we release any sadness or challenges into the care of Spirit. We take pride in our increasing clarity as we simply seem to understand the workings of the world a little better, and are able to deal more kindly with ourselves and others. We appreciate the assurance that is growing in us moment by moment that we know the truth and are well able to serve and share it willingly and patiently with others. And as we now move into a time of silence, we remember the Holy Spirit is God in action, the movement and breath of God. We now invite this holy activity to fill our holy beings this morning and infuse us with the inspiration for right action in the world. Help us to clearly know our purpose and pursue it boldly in the silence. And in the words of H. Emily Cady, we know the Holy Spirit lives within us now. It is working for us and in us for that which God would have us do. And so it is. Amen.